Boone.
Yeah, hi, it's me. I don't think I ever really loved you.
Johnny, I said we were through just to see what you would do. You stood there, you hung your head, made me wish that I would tell. Johnny, get angry, Johnny, get mad. Give me the biggest letter I ever had. I want a brave man, I want a caveman. Johnny, show me that you care, really care for.
Shit's in chaos right here.
I saw your driveway looks great.
Yeah, it's full of roofing materials.
That's what we call sarcasm, people.
Are those trucks the one that made the giant divots in the little tire lanes?
No, those
have been there.
Oh, really? Yeah. They're just always hidden by
the
vehicle?
They're just usually a broken down car there.
There's no broken down cars. Cars work. They just look broken down because they're in a giant divot. Now, that's the next project as we pave that driveway.
Nice. You gonna go like cement or full on gravel or what? You can't do gravel, can you?
No.
Yeah,
no, it's illegal.
You're inside the city.
I'd say you just go gravel and nothing will happen because nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. It all depends on whether someone complains. Like the third time their window gets like cracked because a piece of gravel flies up and hits it, they're gonna complain.
Yeah, these kids will definitely get right on that. They're out in the... Right now, they're out in the middle of the street throwing footballs to Gangsta Rap and Kobe Keith at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's not them I'm worried about. There's a few permanent residents around here, and there's this lady that goes around and sweeps up the street. Like, she picks up garbage and...
Nice.
Oh, no, just on her own, like...
What a loser.
Yeah.
Neighborhood defender.
I know. That's my first thought whenever I see her, and then I'm like, oh, man, she's just actually raising my property values by doing that, so...
She like the little Indian in the commercial with the tear of somebody litters in front of her.
Kind of. Except she's white as hell.
Yeah, I pulled up. I have the pizza marquee on the top of my car. I never take it off, so I'm surprised it hasn't been stolen yet. So I pulled up, and they thought, I guess they ordered pizza or something because they thought I was here for them. So I kind of just parked and walked up with pizza, and they're like, oh, not ours, I guess. I was like, nope. And I just walked onto your house.
Like, just sold it to them, man.
You're like, man, that pizza guy's been in there forever. Sorry.
So how is your life now that school's back in session?
It's all right. Parking just sucks. which wasn't a problem until someone decided to dump a bunch of roofing crap in my driveway. So to park on the street like the rest of you plebs.
What's the timetable on the roof change?
Should be less than a week.
Well, 6 months later.
Yeah. Hell yeah, though, unless they find something terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I was supposed to have my contractor in there today to like start in the shelves. When, I guess, like, my version of start on Monday and his version of start on Monday are different. Like, his version is, I need you to look at this price estimate and then approve it. Like, I already did this, like, over the phone. I told you the amount in which I would spend.
He just didn't feel like doing it today. He's just dragging his feet. Paying him by the hour.
He's a good guy, but I was just like, start on Monday means start on Monday in my book. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, working all the business shit beforehand. And then, how's your week been, Danny?
A little hectic. Just got back from vacation, so my week has been doing laundry, unpacking, mowing the grass that hasn't been cut in 2 weeks. Getting back to work after being off for a week and a half and dealing with all of the shit that's piled up in the meantime. So we've been really busy this week.
Sounds fun.
Not to mention, I also have like 2 new card games I play, so I had to organize all those cards. And
what games are they?
Versus and Game of Thrones.
Ooh. Well, this will be the last cast in my dining room. We'll be moving to Arkham.
Is this a dining room? I always thought it was like a sitting room or something.
No, it's
whatever you want it to be.
We use it as a dining room.
There's an arcade stand in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, broken ass arcade.
That's true. That thing has never once been on in the.
No, it's been broken for about 2-3 years now, maybe more than that. I don't know. I'm going to fix it soon.
I haven't had a whole lot of time to play video games this week, though I have spent a fair amount of time watching Matt like commit suicide on Hearthstone ranked.
Matt F.
Yeah, Matt F. He was like rank 4 when I started watching him at the beginning of the week, and I was like rank 11.
Oh, man.
It's karma for talking shit about our podcast.
I saw he didn't email again this week, so.
Oh, didn't he?
No. Nope.
Must have been too busy losing stars.
Man, Danny's just throwing shade today, dude.
So what'd you play this week, Ish?
The only game I have played besides Hearthstone this week is Rocket League. With a couple of buddies. I don't know if you've played it yet. I have.
It's free on PS.
Yeah.
PlayStation.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, I was playing it on a computer with them.
Yeah, the game is super fun.
It is. It's fun. Like, I don't know. The physics of the ball just seems to work really well. So, like, kind of takes some of the campiness out of it, even though you are in cars with hats on and shit. But,
yeah.
I don't know, it's pretty fun to play. And, like I said, it's free. So, I just had a couple of buddies tell me to download it and played with them. And it turned out to be really fun.
Yeah. It really matters, like, where the ball hits your car, too. Like, if it hits, like, the front left bumper, it'll go a different way. Than like, if it hits the front.
Yeah.
Like, above the bumper, you know.
I'm trying to get to all the speed dots on the field and stuff, trying to get to the ball. It's kind of neat.
The game looks fun, but it bothers me just because every site I visit has, like, nothing but Rocket League on it. Like, every, like, 5th Kotaku article is, like, look at this awesome save I made while playing Rocket League.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sorry. Are you guys supposed to be like a video game news place?
There's nothing going on right
really
now.
It's a really slow video game. There's no games out. There's no news.
And then after each Rocket League thing, there's also another article right afterwards about like, check out this awesome thing I did in Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's no secret that Blizzard pays Kotaku. Yeah. I mean, not even like dead serious. They pay them for articles.
Really?
Yeah.
There's also a ton of Witcher 3 articles on there.
Like, I think they've died out a little bit.
I just read one from this week anyway, where like the guy just basically sat in a village and wrote about it and sat there for 24 hours.
I did read an article. I didn't read it, but there was like a header that like the what is her name was a girl character.
Siri
should have like I would play a game with Siri as the main character. I'm like, really? You wrote an article about that? Okay.
Yeah, like Kotaku sells articles like Zynga and a bunch of different like gaming companies.
Yeah. I don't know. So, I'm not surprised.
And I assume Blizzard has more money than most companies. So.
Yeah, that's a shame. I didn't know that. Kind of hurts their credibility.
Well, they're kind of just paying for
articles. They did not have any credibility.
Yeah, you're like worrying about the credibility of Kotaku. They may be a little bit above Polygon in my opinion.
There's like an entire subreddit dedicated to Kotaku shitty journalism. Yeah. It's called Kotaku in Action. It's all about like Gamergate and how Kotaku is like the single worst piece of gaming Gawker media ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's got like 50,000 subscribers.
It's probably all like Gamergaters though, right? Like all people that are like, fuck women in video games.
Yeah, probably.
Need to be in my kitchen.
On Reddit Gaming, there was a GIF the other day. It showed like Mass Effect 3 when it came out. And IGN gave it like a 7.1. And then it shows like a hand sneaking money out from behind the case. And it, the closer it gets to the IGN logo, the score is going up. And then when the money gets there, it's like Game of the Year. Beep, 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 beep. It was pretty funny.
That's funny. Did they give it a 7.1 when it came out?
I don't know. I don't remember too much about Mass Effect 3 coming out.
But that's about as much as I understand about video game journalism.
Yeah. Someone would pay us to give out good reviews.
We'll say all kinds of nice things about your games or your 80s movies.
We'll give an 11 out of 10 to anybody who wants to pay for it. Come on.
Sell out in a minute. We didn't even go to journalism school, so like.
Well, neither did Kotaku. Yeah, again, literally not a single person at that paper that has a journalism degree.
Wow. I thought Petr Klepek had a journalism degree.
So they did a big expose about how I think out of like the five big like video game sites, how like maybe two people across the whole board had journalism degrees. Like video game journalism is not regulated. That's all Gamergate and all that shit is talking about besides women cooking or whatever. But there's no regulation in video game journalism because there's no journalist in video game journalism.
Yeah.
Just like we're just as credible as anybody else.
We're as credible as Kotaku. Yeah.
I don't know. Like dudes like Jeff Gerstmann though have been around for a really long time. They trained under actual journalists.
Doesn't make him actual journalist. Yeah.
I don't know. Look at it as like kind of like an apprenticeship. I mean,
yeah.
You work for a blacksmith like long enough, you'll become a blacksmith.
All right, they would be journalists if this was the 1600s feudal journeyman system. Then yes, by those standards, they're all master journalists.
I wouldn't go that far.
What'd you play?
Journeyman journalists. Then.
Shit. Sorry, I wasn't expecting that question.
Oh, sorry.
Let me organize my thoughts.
Yeah. James, do you have any thing to say? You didn't play anything?
No.
He's been on store duty.
Open, man.
Played the game of life.
Played Witcher 3 a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
How far are you getting?
I am like level 14 now. I think I was level 12 last time I talked to you.
Me then.
Yeah. I've almost got all the quests in Velen done. Did all the fist fighting quests. And
I haven't done those yet.
I don't know. I still don't feel like I'm ready to move on because it says the next main quest I have to be like level 18 for or something.
To go to like Skelligrad or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Skelligid.
Skellige, and their Novigrad is like 14 or something. So I could probably go to that. But
yeah, you can go to Novigrad. There's actually a lot of really easy shit to do in Novigrad.
There's still stuff I want to do, like all these Witcher contracts that sound cool.
Yeah. There's like, oh my God, the Witcher contracts are so many of them, and a lot of them are like the level 30 and stuff. And I'm like, why? I just got to this area. Why am I getting like level 20 and 30 quests?
I got Trine 2. I played a bunch of that with Cordelia. Super frustrating.
Yeah.
Well, just because it's all puzzle shit. And
I had a friend ask me what Trine was. And I'm like, did you ever play Lost Vikings? It's a little bit like that.
It's a lot like that. Except you have like a wizard and a warrior and a thief. And you have
three different
them.
Characters that all have different abilities. And you have to use them and you descend to solve puzzles.
Yeah.
It is Lost Vikings.
Yeah. And, you know, at the same time, I have to tell a 5-year-old how to.
Yeah.
Go about solving the puzzle.
I mean, that definitely makes it a little more difficult. Difficulty.
Yep, definitely.
There should be an achievement for that.
Yep. And I know I played something else, but I honestly can't remember it right now. It took up a good bit of time too.
I played Fallout Shelter. Did you play it at all?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I wanted to. No.
Yeah, it's out on. It came out on Android. Like 2 days after we did the podcast, I think it was like.
Really have much to say about it. It's pretty straightforward. You build rooms, and then you have to have enough water, electricity, and food to feed the people in those rooms. And then, but the people in those rooms produce those items, so you just have to make sure that everybody's producing the right amount of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So it's pretty straightforward.
People can have different skills that give them benefits to different types of production.
I would give it a firm 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't know. It never looked that interesting to me to begin with.
I've turned it on like two or three times a day, played for like 15 minutes each day because there's only so much you could do. So,
really, you can only play in like 15 minute increments?
Well, you wait on each room to produce like the thing that it produces, and then you just like sit there and wait. Like, rooms unlock based on the amount of vault dwellers you have, but at a certain point, you can only get more vault dwellers by like impregnating the vault dwellers that you have. So it takes time for them to get pregnant and then give birth to a child, and then that child has to grow up. So
did you not hop on Destiny by Galahorn from Xur?
No, because if I did that, I would still not play Destiny. So I figure by the time I play Destiny again, which will probably be if I get the Taken King, I imagine just all the weapons will be better than Galahorn. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, well, whatever. I'm sure I'll sell it again sometime.
I almost got on and bought it, and I'm just like, I really haven't been playing much, and figured I'd save my coins for something else that pops out.
Yeah.
I played a lot more Temple of Osiris. That's one of the things I played.
That's the isometric Tomb Raider?
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yep.
Is that the newest one, or is that the older one?
That's the newest one, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, you guys know what the Xbox One free-to-play games are this month?
Nope.
Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, yeah.
No, and it's not 5. It's like the shitty five, one.
Yeah.
It's Ground Zero.
Ground Zero 5, but this one's 5 Ground Zero.
I just remember because I was on the Xbox One subreddit, and somebody was like, Metal Gear Solid 5 is the free game, and then like every single comment was, it's not Metal Gear Solid 5. It's Metal Gear Solid piece of shit. Evidently, it's really bad. I don't know. I haven't played it.
Man,
I've never played a Metal Gear.
For like 10 minutes.
I've never played a Metal Gear game that hasn't been Metal Gear 2 on PS2. That's the only one I've ever played, and only for 30 minutes.
They had that one last week, and then just this week they added that game you guys were talking about, like How to Survive, like Storm Warning Edition.
Oh, really?
Edition.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Yeah, like Storm Warning Edition or something like that.
Kovacs rules.
Kovacs rules.
Yeah, I didn't check what the 360 games were, but I thought that was pretty awesome. It was like two games at least I recognize free for Xbox One this month.
Nice. What movie are we doing?
Nightbreed.
Yes, Nightbreed.
Did everybody watch it?
I did.
I did too. Wow, yeah. Everybody watched it for once?
Yeah. It's on Netflix. Like, if it's that easy, everybody's going to watch it.
The last thing we did was on Netflix, wasn't it? Tales from the Dark Side.
We all watched it, though, didn't we?
No.
I wasn't here.
I didn't get a chance.
Oh, see, I wasn't here for the show, but yeah, I watched it.
Okay.
Mr. Boo.
That's what it was. He didn't watch it, and you weren't here, so that's what I thought. All right.
But Nightbreed, I thought I had seen it, but I had never, ever seen that movie.
Yeah, same here.
And so me and my dad watched it today, and it wasn't horrible, so...
I think it was pretty horrible.
It wasn't as bad as I was expecting.
Yeah, and the premise was okay. Like with the
I actually kind of liked the main character
with
once
Midian.
Once I realized he wasn't a serial killer.
Yeah.
So there might be. I like watched it right before I came here, so I might have missed something because I kind of like dozed off for like 10 minutes right near the end. So maybe they revealed something that filled in all the plot holes that were bugging the shit out of me, and I didn't have time to go back and rewatch it, but...
I doubt it. I don't think so.
Let us know your plot holes, and we'll see if they did it.
All right. So should we go over what the movie's about then?
Sure.
What's the main character's
quick
name?
Synopsis.
Aaron Boone, not the Reds player. So that kind of pulled me out of it. Because my favorite baseball player of all time is Aaron Boone. So
just... opens up with Aaron Boone having a nightmare about all these demons running towards a cemetery gate. And then he wakes up, and then he's with his girlfriend or fiance or wife, or I don't even know what the hell she was. I think it was just like a girlfriend thing, though.
Yeah, it was just his girlfriend.
And he's like, so glad. So glad I got psychiatric help. The dreams are... all that's left now is the dreams, and they aren't even that bad. And she's like, let's go away together, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes to his job. And then his girlfriend visits him there, and they talk more before his old psychiatrist calls him and tells him to come down. And he goes to the psychiatrist's office, and apparently in these dreams he describes like really graphic murder scenes and stuff like that. And I guess I skipped one part. There is a part in the movie right before his psychiatrist calls him where it shows a man with like a really weird – I thought it was just like – one of the monster people at first.
It's like a Slender Man mask.
Yeah, he's got like buttons for eyes and like a zipper mouth, But he's like in his family's home, and he's just like, this little kid is like, "Mommy, I think I heard something." And she's like, "Oh, just go to sleep, baby." And then the mom gets like her throat slashed. And then she walks into the dad, watching NHL on TV and slashes that guy's throat too.
This is why I hate Clay Barker. I could tell just from the writing that he killed those people just because they were fat. Like, he made
it. Yeah.
And then the guy sort of
she was even reaching in and getting food in the freezer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When it happened.
He like walks upstairs and it's obvious he's going to kill a kid too. But the psychiatrist goes like, "Aaron, when you were describing these really graphic scenes to me, I thought they were just illusions or dreams. But I got approached by some policemen today that asked me whether or not I thought any of my patients were capable of this massacre." And he like lays out all the pictures from the family getting slaughtered. And he's like, "They showed me some other things too. Like 10 families have died over the last 6 months." He's like, "Aaron, everything you've described to me is exactly like these murder scenes."
Right.
And then he's like, "I'll give you 24 hours to do whatever the hell you want." And I'm telling the cops. And I'm like, "Okay, weird." And he's like, "Also take these pills." And I'm like, "Okay, weirder." And so he takes the pills and he starts having like hallucinations and stuff. And then he eventually gets hit by a truck and they bring him into the hospital. And he's like, "Ah." And they're like, "What are you on?" And he's like, "Lithium." And then he shows them the pills and they're like, "These are not lithium." So now he thinks the doctor has like convinced him he's a serial killer, and he's like going kind of crazy on these hallucinogens. And somehow he runs into this other guy in the hospital who's talking about Midian, which was the place he had made up in his dreams is called Midian. Yeah. They thought was made up. So the guy's like, I need to get to Midian. He's like, "Well, do you even know where it is?" And the guy's obviously crazy. And he's like, "They sent you to bring me to Midian, didn't you? Didn't they?" And he's like, "Yeah, just tell me where it is." And the guy's like, "It's over the river, through the woods, and past grandmother's house," or something like that. And then he's like, "But you have to test me, right? You have to make sure I'm ready for Midian." And he's like, "Yeah, whatever." So the guy takes these like two rings that have knives on them, just carves his whole scalp off and like starts tearing his face away. Because he's an actor, so he has a face underneath his real face that he has to show him as the test. And Aaron is like freaking the fuck out, and he just bails while the doctors try to put this guy back together. And he makes it to the cemetery, and then he meets a bunch of monsters, and he's like, they're like, he meets one that just wants to eat him. And he's like, "No, I'm one of you. I killed 15 people." And he's like, "I can smell the innocence on you. Whoever told you you killed 15 people lied to you." And he's like, "What?" And he's like, "But now you're meat." And he just jumps at him, takes a big bite out of his shoulder before Aaron manages to fight his way away and then runs outside. And the police are all waiting for him outside the cemetery. And they have the doctor with him. And he's like, "Let me talk to him. I can talk to Aaron." And he walks up and he just says like, I don't remember what he says really, but then he just goes like, "He's got a gun," and jumps out of the way. And the entire police force just opens fire on him. So clearly a little bit of a miscommunication there.
Right.
And so then the police officer was like, "Where's the gun?" And he's like, "He reached into his pocket," which he didn't.
Yeah.
So now we're like, "Oh, this doctor is a little shady."
Yeah.
Yep.
And his dead body comes back to life in the morgue, and then he goes back to Midian, and he meets the guy that ripped his scalp off, because he's also in Midian now. And then that's when he finds out that Midian houses all of the monster tribes that have been mostly
eradicated
by humanity. Which is nice. I mean,
yeah.
I thought that was a cool part about that's where all the tribes were throughout history and stuff. It's kind of neat.
So he's like, "Okay, I guess I live here now." And then his girlfriend comes looking for him, and she's like on her way to the cemetery, and she like goes into a bar and meets a woman there, and they stay at a hotel, and they both of them drive up to the cemetery together the next day. Meanwhile, the woman had apparently slept with a banker named Curtis the previous night because he had bought them drinks. So she goes into the cemetery while the other girl waits outside, and another car pulls up. And it's the doctor. And she's like, "Curtis, what are you doing here?" Right. God damn it. Fucking doctor. So while she's in there, she meets the little kid.
Babbitt.
and who's outside in the sun dying.
So like when she was in the sun dying, she was like a little like creature.
But... yeah, she's a little like imp thing. Yeah. Weirdo. So she, there's like another woman. She's like, please carry Babbitt back to me. Save her.
She can't go out in the sun either.
Yeah, she can't go out in the sun either. So they both carry, or she carries Babbitt back. And they have this like really weird exchange where like, she's like, tell me where Aaron is. Because I saved your little girl. And they're like, you saved her. So she belongs to you now if you want her.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I don't fucking want her. I just want you to tell me where Aaron is. And so they're like, get out of here. So she leaves, goes back to the car, and Sue has been murdered by the doctor, who is actually the masked man that was killing all those families. Right?
Yep.
Then the doctor says, I'm going to kill you, and that will bring Aaron out of hiding. Because, I don't know, for some reason he thinks Aaron is still alive.
Alive, yeah.
He seems to, like, know... He seems to know something about Midian, or believes Midian is real. Yeah, because
he's treated, like, several patients at this point, and he's talked about Midian.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. Oh, okay. So that's one of the things I didn't understand, is, like, why is he so fascinated by...
He explains that he's been killing regular people, like, meat or whatever, for so long that it doesn't, like... hold anything, and that his true purpose is to kill those of Midian.
Yeah, he has to kill the night. He goes over that later.
The night breed, yeah.
But I didn't understand how he got his fascination with them in the first place. Because he was like re-listening to the tapes, and he got really angry when Aaron said maybe he could live forever in Midian. but Aaron does come out when he, I don't know, supernaturally senses that, or well, I guess they tell him that there is someone looking for her. And so he runs out to find her. Or for him, and he runs out to find her, and the doctor is like about to stab her, and he chases him off with his awesome nightbreed powers now, which just make a bunch of whole lines on his face when he inhales or something like that.
Yeah, it didn't really seem like, and he can withstand bullets.
Yeah, he can like get stabbed through the chest and not even really care. He
seems a bit stronger.
Yeah, he's a little bit.
Does his little smoke mouth power?
And just
turns it on and off.
So the doctor has to retreat for the time being since he can't kill Aaron. And Aaron is about to chase after him, but then fucking like scalped guy is like making out with his girl or something like that.
His girlfriend passes out and the scalp guy tries to kiss her.
So he's got to double back and make sure the monsters don't eat his girlfriend.
And there's all this shit about laws.
It doesn't really go into it too much.
But he's not allowed
Baphomet.
Not supposed to consort with human beings anymore, and they have a god named Baphomet.
Baphomet, the baptizer. He created Midian.
I don't think they're supposed to kill naturals.
Like, yeah, they're not supposed to eat or kill natural, because the guy's like, you can't eat him even if he's meat. It's against the laws. Fuck the laws.
Now, Baphomet is a name of a demon in the Bible.
Yeah.
And a Final Fantasy summon.
That's Baphomet, I think.
Baphomet, yeah. So after that, the doctor calls the police and he's like, Aaron's still alive and he's killed again. And then he goes back to the hotel where the lady was staying and just murders everyone there. It was like a little like street side motel or something. So it was maybe like 8 people in the entire building.
Yeah.
But he just murders them all. And Aaron's like, well, fuck you guys. If I can't be with the girl I love, I'm not going to be part of your tribe anymore. So he leaves with his girlfriend. They go back to that hotel and they find everyone murdered. And the doctor has called the police to the site. And so the police capture him. And that's when they figure out he's fucking dead because he's got no pulse.
Pulse. Yeah, the doctor.
And they're like, what the fuck is going on? And then the doctor's like, well, he's like a monster. There's all kinds of monsters in that cemetery. And so then the police go to investigate, and they end up pulling one guy out into the sun, and he turns into sand and explodes.
To interrupt, like, you see all the movies nowadays that have, like, a fantasy aspect. It takes so much convincing to get even one person to help you. But in this movie, the entire fucking town rallies behind the idea of monsters in about 30 minutes.
Like, yeah.
They have an army assembled outside the police station quicker than anything I've ever seen. Everybody immediately believes there's monsters and immediately believes they need to be killed.
All I gotta say is we got a guy in jail that has no pulse.
Yeah.
And they're like, no one's like, well, could you try checking it again? Or...
like, your stethoscope might have been bad.
Were you holding the right place on his wrist?
Yeah. So but just instantaneously, it's like lynch mob out front for monsters that live underneath the
cemetery. Yeah, so they're lynch mobbing. But they only got like 4 guys at first. And they go in, they pull one guy out, and he explodes. And he's like, huh, the sun kills them. let's get the hell out of here and get a bunch of explosives, and we'll come back at nighttime. Again, just like in Bats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly, the best time to fight these guys are the next morning. Nighttime.
Yeah.
12 hours would have made a huge difference for all those cops. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. They should have waited for the sun to come back up.
So they put all these explosives on the surface. Meanwhile, a small band of them have gone out to free Aaron because, oh, I forgot to mention, when his girl comes to get him, to be allowed to leave, he goes and talks to Baphomet. And
James.
Sorry.
It's totally picking up that.
No one has ever talked to Baphomet and lived before.
Yeah.
So, but he goes and talks to her and talks to Baphomet, and he comes out and he's like, we're cool. I can leave. So now everyone's like, maybe Baphomet told him something that he can do to save us, or maybe he's special for some reason. So they go to save him from the jail cell, which seems to be really easy since everyone else is out gathering explosives at the time. There's like two fucking cops.
Yeah, where do they get the explosives? Like, they get like military grade everything.
Yeah, they just blow up the whole cemetery. Yeah.
But Mr. No Face and Chick Who Can't Go in the Sun sneak out to break him out.
Yeah. She like turns into smoke or something, so they can't shoot bullets at her. But she has to be naked.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
I mean, smoke can't wear clothes.
Yeah. Smoke don't wear clothes. That's a new model.
So that's like the topless scene of the movie.
Yeah.
Obligatory horror topless scene.
And she makes out with a cop and kills him.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm. Well, she does something.
Sucks his brain.
The smoke comes out of his mouth.
That dude is dead.
Yeah. But they bring it. He's like, all right, let's get the hell out of here. And they're good. They're on their riding on their way back. And this is like right after they set off the explosives is roughly when I start to like doze off because the fight scenes are like so terrible.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, run away. Oh, I got shot. Oh, I hit you with. He's like, we have to defend ourselves. And he's taking the lids off of coffins and just splitting them in two and handing them to people. Like, here, take this stick to beat people with. Oh, my God. I basically fall asleep for the rest of the movie. I wake up at the very end. They've managed to rebuff them. All of the monsters are now waiting in some farmhouse.
Had these unstoppable monsters in the
basement. Yeah, they released the berserkers.
The berserkers released,
and that kind of turned the tide of the battle.
Yeah, they managed to get away. And they Cabal is his name now. Aaron's called Cabal. Will find a new home for them, but they have to wait in this farmhouse for him to get there.
For the next wind.
It might be tonight, maybe tomorrow. And maybe then, meanwhile, his girlfriend stabs herself so he's forced to bite her and turn her into... What is this familiar? What is this reminiscent of? Why do I feel like we've seen this scene before somewhere?
I thought it had like a Romeo Juliet vibe.
Sort of.
No, it's
I was thinking specifically about some sort of other horror movie or vampire movie or something. Anyway, so she stabs herself and he's like, you have to bite me and save me now. And so he does because he didn't want to turn her. Now she's turned.
Right.
Yeah, the only thing you really missed was him fighting the doctor.
Yeah, does the doctor turn into a nightbreed?
No, they're fighting and everything. And but Aaron lets him put the knife all the way through his chest and then just kind of pushes him off and he dies.
Yeah, but at the very end, the police chief is still alive, but he's really badly burnt. And there's some sort of nightbreed.
It's the priest, isn't it?
It's
the priest that got burnt or whatever. He turned into like a little nightbreed.
Yeah, he's like, no, it is my job to kill the nightbreed. And setting up for a sequel,
really
maybe?
Because he was like totally about protecting the nightbreed.
Yeah, he said they weren't evil and everything.
So you got the Bahamut juice splashed on his face.
So yeah, there is a priest. There is a priest, and he was like okay with not killing everyone. He was trying to convince the police that they weren't doing any harm to anybody. But I guess he died somewhere when I fell asleep, and
he got splashed with that
Baphomet juice.
The thing he like dipped his hand in or whatever.
Became
a monster.
Yeah, he went down and saw the big statue and.
Yeah.
Now he's off to chase the nightbreed and kill them.
Because the statue like picked up Aaron and like embraced him and said, "You have to find me and find us a safe place again." And then when he drops him, he's like, "You are now Cabal."
Okay, so that's like the whole freaking story. I didn't miss anything at all. There's no reason for me to rewatch it.
Yeah, I think he probably only missed like 10 minutes.
So, like, plot holes. Like, why was he having dreams about the murder scenes of the doctor?
I don't know. Like, yeah. Well, they said that, like,
there was a prophecy.
Yeah.
I think that maybe you missed that. Like, suddenly, they, like, in the last 10 minutes of the movie, they talked about this prophecy that I don't remember hearing about before.
Pelequin, the guy that bit him, takes the girlfriend down into the cavern or whatever, and there's, like, drawings on the wall of a guy being bitten, everything happening, and a guy being a savior. So that's where that kind of... And they even said that... they mentioned that the Nightbreed, when we dream of them and they dream of us, or whatever that one conversation was with the girl with the spiky tits. But that was a little bit.
So he was like, that's one of the first thing I did.
They never come right out and explain it though. Yeah. So like, I'm kind of.
So he's like a doctor, and he's like sitting here in the sessions, like, okay, he's describing the murder I just did like 2 days ago. That's interesting, and he's just like. So I guess that's why he decides he needs to kill this Aaron guy off to like
blame him for it. My biggest plot hole thing that pissed me off is when it shows that one little clip of him working when she goes to his work. He's down in an automotive bay, like an automotive thing where you can walk down and go into the cars. There's no car above him, though, but he's welding something. So me and my dad were like, what the fuck are you welding when there's like clearly no car above you?
I liked it. I liked it. Like the guy comes out. He's like, hey, Aaron, you got a visitor. And I'm like, what is he in, like jail or something?
Apparently... Aaron Jarodowski called this the first truly gay horror fantasy epic.
Well, speaking of gay, I was just going to bring that up. When it shows her singing in the club, her song is singing like about some guy being gay.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
if you go back and listen to it, yeah.
Oh, weird.
Oh, yeah, you have to try and find that song and put it on the little clip.
I thought it was like something about like I need a guy that's brave or something like that.
I'm 99% certain she said she needs a guy that's gay or something. Maybe she's being gay and happy, not gay as in orientation.
I feel like you just misunderstood the words she was singing.
Yeah.
I don't think there was the 1980s top hit, I Need a Guy That's Gay, that's sang by the pop country western band. And
just
that.
Find the song and we'll decide.
Yeah. I don't know. Kind of a crazy movie. What were you saying? You read something about it earlier, like you said before the cast.
I guess it was just marketed poorly, pretty much. Like they had misunderstood the movie, and the guy that was supposed to market it, he only watched like 5 minutes of it because it was he got grossed out by it or something. So.
Right. So they marketed it as a slasher film.
Yeah, because in the first 5 minutes there he kills that whole family. Mm-hmm. So that's what the trailer was made out of, basically. So imagine going to a movie theater thinking you're going to see a slasher film. And instead, you get to hear the prophesized upcoming of Cabal, King of the Nightbreed.
Apparently, the version we watched was not the original version.
It even says director's cut on the Netflix thing.
Yeah, it's like in the 80s or late 90s, like a VHS came out that had the version that we watched on it, which was like... the director's original cut. And,
my God, how awful was the original one?
It didn't have the Cabal ending. And they reshot like a bunch of the murder scenes, so they weren't as graphic. Like, I guess the kid probably doesn't get killed or something.
Well, they didn't show the kid getting killed.
I know, but like, still, that was pretty messed up.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of movies back in the day kind of like changed in like iterations from like either theatrical release to home release or vice versa. Because like, even with the Goonies, they changed the ending. And like got rid of the octopus and everything, so like they stopped doing that.
That wasn't in the original theater one though.
It might not have been. It was the original home release had the octopus ending.
No, because like if you go watch that scene, it's like it clearly was never like part of the main movie. It's like you know on set sound they never did any ADR for it.
The VHS my dad has the octopus thing on it, like, and that's like a claim to fame that he like holds on to because it's kind of neat. It just. I don't know.
It's like actually in the main movie.
Yeah, it's in the run of the movie.
I don't remember anything about an octopus.
It was videotaped. Oh man, I forget what my dad says. Because my dad has always been like the king of the record or whatever. And it was like
I know I've seen the deleted scene, but I don't.
Yeah. No, like I've literally seen it in the actual full motion picture before.
That's crazy. Huh.
Yeah. What's up news wise? Anything good?
Nightbreed was terrible. In the news.
5 out of 10. 5.5 out of 10.
Oh my God.
It actually ended up having the same plot as that game I just played, Dust and Elysian Tale.
Oh really?
Yeah. I'm like you end up fighting these monsters, and at the end of the game, like, you're fighting for the monsters. they're all holed up in this underground area, in this lava area.
Cabal.
As soon as I saw Cabal, I just thought of a Destiny also with the people on Mars.
So, news.
Kojima's still missing?
Apparently, there's been a lot of news articles about Konami where it's like they have video cameras like watching their employees. Yeah, I was reading that stuff. So it's like totally like Big Brother down in Konami.
Yep.
The Resident Evil 2 remake is officially happening.
Yep.
Yeah. Did anyone watch that 15-minute Shenmue documentary I posted?
I did not.
No.
Okay. But apparently, there was a 15-minute Shenmue documentary that was made back in 1999, posted on YouTube for everyone to watch. It was originally part of the like demo disc of Shenmue that came out, so it was really hard to find until right now. And we're all huge Shenmue fans, so
you know it.
I thought at least one of us would watch.
We all kickstarted it, right?
Yeah.
No, the Resident Evil 2 thing. I saw that at the. At the dinner table right before you showed up to trivia. I was really excited, but we were talking about that right before you got there.
Apparently now you can just go out and buy a Galahorn.
Oh, that was just for the weekend. Every Xur sells a different unique weapon every weekend, and Galahorn is something he's never sold before, and it's something that pretty much everyone has wanted one up until now. So I think they recently did a nerf on it that makes it not as good, so that's probably why they allowed Xur to sell it this weekend.
Well, I think I read that there was like one weekend back when the game first came out that he sold Galahorn, and nobody knew about it then, so not a lot of people spent their money on buying it because it's like, oh, an exotic rocket launcher, I'll wait for like a pulse rifle or an auto rifle because they were really top dog.
It was just a big deal because it's one of the two or three guns in the game that everybody wants to have at least one of, and a lot of people haven't gotten one yet just because the drop system is totally random.
Danny got two.
Yep.
Nice.
James was very envious of that when it happened.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is getting a Big Hero 6 world.
Yep.
I guess that's okay. I like Big Hero 6, the movie.
Slow news week. I had to put something up.
Kingdom Hearts is always good.
I'm not even going to talk about that Final Fantasy 7 beat-em-up.
That's all that.
Yeah, it's just like some indie game, and he wrote on his website, like, trademarked by Final Fantasy. This is a fan project. I'm not trying to make any money off of it. And the first comment in the news article I saw was, way to fucking go, Kotaku. Now Squaresoft's going to find out about it and take it down. Or Square Enix.
It's going
to ruin everything.
Red Ash, Mighty No. 9, people, I don't even know the name of their company, are doing another Kickstarter.
Studio 4. Actually, it's not even Studio another 4C. Kickstarter. They just did a Kickstarter to make a Red Ash animation, and they promised they would make like a 12-minute Red Ash, like basically anime episode or something like that. And they're studying another one. They're like, now we want to make it a 30-minute episode. Give us more money.
Right. They're not using Kickstarter. They're using a bunch of other crowdfunding services.
Okay, whatever.
I just get the feeling like they kickstarted Mighty No. 9 how long ago now? Like,
I think it 2013.
Yeah, and it's not out yet. And so I think they're just trying to like blitzkrieg as much money as possible to finish that and finally get it out, and then hopefully make money off of it to actually subsidize the projects they're getting money for now that they have no intention of making. So it's just like, it's one big, like, I don't know, clusterfuck, just
robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Pay Paul, yep.
You can now vote to make games free on PlayStation Plus. Eh.
Like, who's not going to vote? Like,
you can vote.
They probably give you a couple of options, and whatever option gets voted for is the free game of the month.
Right. For this month, it's Grow Home, Zombie Vikings, and I don't know, something else.
Awesome. Three things I've never heard of before.
Armello, yeah. Yeah. And one will be made free, and the other two will be available at a discount.
Nice.
Yeah. Some Nintendo employee got fired for appearing on a podcast.
Yep. He went into depth about how, why they don't port Japanese titles like to the Western markets and stuff. Apparently, he divulged a tiny bit too much of information. and they let him go.
Yeah. So Nintendo employees, if any of you want to come on the podcast and talk about how you feel about that, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I read it. I think he divulged too much information. He just was like, it wouldn't make money. And then people got pissed because the way he talked about it. Because I guess he talked down to like people that are on forums and stuff. Because he was like,
the people who are like, why do you hate
Nintendo
money?
Nintendo hates money. He's like, no, Nintendo doesn't hate money. We're just not going to make any money if we do it. Fucktards.
He's like, people don't realize how their small group of fans doesn't matter when it comes to that stuff.
Right. And he tried to explain how expensive it was to localize shit. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why he got fired for that. Nintendo is pretty, they don't like, even their like well-named known employees speaking on podcasts and shit. Yeah. Like you'll never see Miyamoto talking without like a handler nearby to like shut him up.
And, yeah. I'm sure they like, if, I don't know, I've worked for companies before, like in the hotels and stuff, where they, when you get hired, you sign a contract that says you, if any like media shows up on the premise that, you will not talk to them. The only person, like, they give you a list of people allowed to talk to the media. So I'm sure Nintendo has something like that.
You saw what happened to Iwata. Gone.
But
talk to the wrong person.
I listen to a lot of podcasts, and there's people from Sony that come on podcasts all the time and say way worse shit than what he said. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. They'll just, like, talk shit about old properties and old designers and stuff. So, I don't know. It seems like Nintendo's being extra sensitive in this case. Oh my God. Peter's freaking out. Sorry. Peter Dinklage did not get dropped because he sucks. He got dropped because he's too unavailable.
Yeah. I think that's what we said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So James called it last week. That's what one of the people from Bungie said in an interview with Game Informer. And it's a new novel by J.R.R. Tolkien coming out.
It's like the first thing he ever wrote in there.
Yep.
Releasing it with all of his notes and everything.
It's like the story of...
It's like the other novels they've released over the past like 15 years that he's written. It'll be super boring.
Story of Kalervo. Yeah. I don't know.
A ton of people's like moms and grandmoms will buy it for them for Christmas. And they'll be like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. It's by that guy that like wrote those Lord of the Rings books you like so much.
Thanks, Grandma.
That grandma sounded like Billy Madison.
And that's it.
I was going for Billy Madison doing an impersonation there of grandma. Yeah.
Did you guys see any movies or anything this past week or two?
For some reason, I watched all of the last four seasons of Entourage.
Really?
Well, you got to watch all those so you can watch the movie, right?
I wasn't planning to watch that.
I like the first two seasons of Entourage. I think that's the only two I've seen.
I really like Jeremy Piven, I think, is the main reason I watch it, I decide.
Did you see Garrett Dillahunt apparently leaked that they're working on organizing a Deadwood movie in the vein of like the Entourage movie?
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about that, so...
So,
I wonder if that's still
going to
happen.
I liked Entourage until things started going good for like Turtle and Drama. That was like the funniest part of the whole show is how much their lives sucked, even though they hung out with a rich guy all the time. Yeah.
I've never seen an episode of Entourage.
You'd like it. You should watch it. Yeah. It's kind of a douchey show, though.
Yeah,
like, I feel like a douche while I'm watching it.
I'm more excited that Ian McShane is on Game of Thrones next season.
Really?
Wait, which one was Ian McShane?
He's a
swear engine
from...
Oh, right, okay.
That might be the hardest I've ever laughed listening to an episode as home is when James was doing the woo swear engine conversation.
Cock-a-sucker.
Oh, man.
But yeah, he's going to be... they haven't announced what his role is, but I'm sure it's Euron Greyjoy, so... Which will be awesome.
How is he related to Theon?
His uncle.
Uncle. He's a
pirate.
He's a one-eye raider, right?
Nice.
There's like a big power struggle after Balin dies.
He's the most feared man in the Iron Islands.
Yeah, that goes on for like a quarter of the book.
Oh, yeah. They're like, fuck it. We'll just put it in next season. We're not going to touch on it.
Yeah.
And I think more what happened was they're getting towards the end of the series and the new book's about to come out. And they're like, all right. Because, like, they're still getting notes from George R. R. Martin and stuff, so I'm sure they're like, he's like, all right, so this is all the shit that happened in the next book, and they're probably like, fuck, all of this is Greyjoy shit. They haven't introduced any of it into the series at all. Because they announced that they're going to eight seasons.
Eight seasons, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure next season is damage control of all the shit they left out of the show so far. Mm-hmm. because I'm sure they thought they were going to be able to end the series without going into some stuff, but does not look like it.
I clicked on one of those like BuzzFeed articles or something where like the actress that plays Melisandre, the Red Queen or Red Witch, I forget what her name is.
Right.
Apparently like she leaked something about Jon Snow coming back from the dead and everything. So
yeah.
And that's a given.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big leak though, because they haven't even said that if that's true or not in the books.
Yeah.
So
she didn't say anything. She just said that she wouldn't be surprised if he was not dead.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either way, honestly.
Like, it's hilarious reading people's theories on like how it'll happen, what'll happen. Like, there's so much detail.
They casted the flashback for next season with if you read the books, there's a Tower of Joy scene, and it's where Ned Stark and his bros go and get his sister, who's been kidnapped by the Targaryens. They casted the flashback, so. You know, people that read the books say that, you know, Jon Snow is a Targaryen, so that'll probably confirm that in the show.
Mm. There's a couple of versions of that flashback in the book, though, isn't there? Like,
no, it's just one. It's from Ned's point of view.
I mean, so like one character will talk about how they grabbed her and raped her and killed her, and the other one.
So it's two different people.
Okay.
The raping and killing was Elia Martell. See, Rhaegar was married to Elia Martell, but then the whole war started because he was like, I realize I have a wife, but I like Ned Stark's sister more. So he absconds with her. And then that's when the whole rebellion happens, because Robert was engaged to Ned's sister.
All right.
Gotcha.
And so, like, the Lannisters, like, raped and murdered his wife, which was the people from Dorne. But Rhaegar had Ned's sister taken, like, two of the Kingsguard took her to like his private stronghold or whatever. And so the flashback is Ned going to that and killing those guys to try to get his sister back.
Okay.
You know,
that makes sense.
Boring Game of Thrones shit.
I don't think any of it's boring. I like it all a lot.
Yeah. I really want the next book to come out.
When's it due?
I don't know.
I'm still only like halfway through the fourth book. I've never gotten around to picking it back up again.
I like the fourth book a lot. People don't
really?
Like it.
Everyone seems to hate it.
I like it because when I was reading the books, my favorite character was Jaime, and he had the most story in the fourth book. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I like Jaime. I also like the Greyjoys, so I liked all the Kingsmoot stuff. Everyone else seemed to think it was just wasted time.
I dislike him now that the show's out, because he's just like an idiot douchebag.
Does the card game you guys were playing, does that use like the likenesses from the show, or is it all based on like book
characters? It's art.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's... The likenesses from the cards are kind of like,
artist interpretation. Yeah. You can tell some of them use the... use like the show's reference, and some people just make up their shit. So. Yep. Cool. Great podcast.
Yeah. And I'm also watching Curb Your Enthusiasm for the first time.
That's a good show.
I just saw they just added that to the Amazon Prime.
Yeah, that's what I'm watching.
Have you seen Porno Baby yet?
No, not yet. Oh, yeah, yeah. The with the little kid with the big dick.
Yeah, he's got a big old dick. Hey, kid. Yeah.
Why would you think it was socially acceptable to go up to some kid's dad and be like, hey, your kid has a really giant
porno baby.
Dick,
Porno Baby, man.
Do you guys remember the show Upright Citizens Brigade when it was on TV?
Yeah.
And the Little Downey Disease. It was... not Matt Walsh, the other guy in Upright Citizens Brigade, and he had a little Downey disease. He was like a 6-year-old, but he had like a 40-year-old man's body and like a 4-foot dick, like a 2.5-foot dick. So it just showed like every time he show him running down the street like with like an ice cream in his hand, like a little kid would. But there's like a blur the entire length, the middle of his legs. And it shows like all the special bikes he has to ride and stuff. They have like a little cradle for his cock right below the seat. I don't know. Look up little Donnie disease, because they shoot it like it's a full on like introspective medical piece into the thing. But it was a pretty good skit.
That reminded me of a really stupid SNL skit I saw once. It was, I forget who was in it, but it was like two women quizzing a really stupid guy with like bar trivia at a bar. And he's like, he's always getting all the questions wrong. He's like, this is big fucking idiot retard guy. And the last question is like, what is the average size of a male penis? And the choices are like 6, 10, or 12 inches. And he's like, 12 inches. And then they're like, no, it's 6. And the guy freaks out and he's like, my mom always told me I was normal. And he just like runs out. And then the two women look at each other and they're like, wait, come back.
That's fire.
Yeah. Girls like big wieners.
Yep.
Comic gold. I also saw Straight Outta Compton over on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I saw your pictures.
I kind of wanted to see that.
Yeah.
It's all right. I had no perspective on rap history whatsoever. I had never listened to an N.W.A. song before.
And you still like don't, because everything in that movie is like really blown out of proportion. Yeah, and kind
but
of
I mean, it was all. I thought it would be a lot more serious of a movie because a lot of those people did not have happy endings. So, so I was like thinking it'd be a lot more dramatic and focus on like gang violence and police brutality and stuff like that. But it was actually pretty funny. A lot of comic elements to it.
Paul Giamatti seen it was probably pretty funny.
Yeah. But my brother called me up and asked me to see it. And my first question was like, "That's the movie you want to see?" This is okay. Pretty good.
All right. Well, cool. I think we should get out of here.
Yep. What episode was this?
I don't know. Episode 77, I think.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.